This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Monday, and I'm here with Sonny Hostin. This is Behind the Table. Hello, Sonny. Happy New Year. How
Happy
are you?
Happy New Year, Brian.
We have not sat down on the air together since before the break, so yes. We've talked a little bit off camera, but how were your holidays?
You know, they were actually really great. I spent Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, the day after Christmas at home with the family. And it's typically a really difficult time, as many of our listeners know, because my husband's mother's birthday was December 24th, and his father's birthday was December 25th. And they died December 28th and January 1st of 2020, leading into 2021. And so a lot of grief in the house. And
Understandably.
We've had to change traditions because our tradition was always to go to my in-laws. So we decided this year that we would just hang out at home, invite new people, right? Like our friends and our family. We had a
chosen family.
We had a vicious round of Christmolympics.
Okay, so Christmolympics. We talked about this before the show went on break, and we saw a little bit of it in your dressing room party, which
yes.
I loved.
The cookie challenge, I have to admit, I lost it this year.
Oof.
It was the first time in about 7 years, maybe.
Did you lose to Gabriel?
I did not, which is shocking. I lost to Tristan Ewing, my godson, and it's because I had Botox.
Oh.
Newly injected Botox, and I couldn't move my forehead quick enough to have the cookie fall from my forehead into my mouth.
Oh, so this is, you know, people talk about the dangers of fillers and
okay.
things like this. Well, here we go.
Don't play Christmolympics if you just got your forehead done.
Fascinating.
So that was an interesting piece. And then we decided to go down to where my father has moved, near mm-hmm. the water, to spend New Year's. And so these are all new traditions. And it was lovely. And I learned a lot of things. I love spending time with my dad.
People, right.
Everyone knows that. And being on the beach, I think, was therapeutic, especially for my son, who now thinks the best thing to do is just like jump into ice cold water the first thing in the morning.
Oh, he's like polar bear plunging kind of thing?
Polar bear plunged every day. People were cheering him on. I thought it was very bizarre. I like warmth, so I didn't do it. But I watched him do it. I have a video of him. And then...
I would not do well with this, I don't think.
I don't like that. He did the polar bear thing. And then I walk to the beach about 3 to 6 miles a day. What a lot of people don't know is that I walk a minimum of 3 miles a day. And I think you and I were talking. I learned a very valuable lesson, and I've decided to make it my New Year's resolution.
Yes. You told me about this.
I did.
Why don't you share with our listeners?
So, as I say, I walk 3 to 6 miles. I used to run, but my right knee bothers me right now. And as I'm walking out of my father's new place, which is right on the beach, he says, don't walk right, walk left. And I said, why? It's just better. But as I looked down the beach, if I walked to the right, I could hit 6 miles. If I walked to the left, it was shorter. There was a pier there. So I, against my father's advice, I walked to the right.
I just want to say, you are contrarian generally.
I am.
I have some experience with this, with saying, well, you know, maybe don't do that, Sonny. And then you do
and
it.
And then it's, I do it.
Yeah.
But I was so curious because my father is such a thoughtful person. Why would he say that?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as I walk down, there are a lot of Confederate flags on that side of the beach. And a lot of Make America Great Again hats and Trump 2024 signs. And people kind of not jeering at me, but pointing, you know.
Because they recognized you or because
I couldn't tell.
You're a woman of color? Or what do you think it was?
I couldn't tell. I will tell you, there's no one like my father where he lives.
Yeah.
So I turned around and I decided to start walking left.
Yeah.
And I did my probably, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 miles. And I came
back.
That's
heartbreaking.
No, but you know what? It's real life sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I said to my dad, Dad, why did you tell me to walk right? He said, because did you see what was on the right? I said, yes. I said, but you live here. And so you don't say anything to anyone. You're still so happy living here with that right down the street. And he said, sweetheart, joy is an act of resistance.
You've been quoting that to me for the last 2 weeks.
Yes. And I just kept on thinking, this is a man who married a white woman in the 60s.
Yeah.
This is a man who is the grandson of sharecroppers and the great grandson of slaves. This is a man who had to drink at a separate water fountain, and he is joyful, and he doesn't have an angry bone in his body, and survived corporate America. And his philosophy is that joy is his act of resistance.
Which is inspiring.
I'm so inspired. So I've told you, Brian, mm-hmm. I am going to try to be very joyful, because as you know, justice is my thing. And when I see injustices, I get very agitated.
Yes.
I don't get angry. I get agitated and I want to change them.
Which serves you
and
well.
And I want to ask questions. Why do you have that Confederate flag up?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you proud of that? Why are you proud of the loss? Do you know what it means? But oftentimes that does lead to conflict.
Yes.
And then I get sad.
Yes.
And I get unhappy.
I often also get sad and unhappy when you get led to conflict. I want to point that
because
out.
Because you sometimes get text messages from me.
Sure.
When I'm unhappy like
sure.
that. But I am going to try for 6 weeks. I'm not going to make it, but I'm going to try for 6 weeks to remember what my father told me on that beach, which was joy is an act of resistance.
Well, this is fun for the listeners at home, too, because now that they know there's... So the 6 weeks came from another conversation you and I had.
Yes.
Forget who it was that said resolutions fall apart.
They fall apart.
And they only count if you make it 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
That's
habit.
When the brain changes.
It's habit forming.
Yes. And that puts it around, I think it was
Valentine's Day. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if you are joyful, and joy is your primary form of resistance through Valentine's Day.
It's doubtful.
I think it's doubtful too.
It's doubtful, but I'm going to try. And I felt that it was really profound.
I think that in my experience, this is not news to me, because Joy Behar, also a form of resistance. I found. So,
see, she's my form of resistance.
Sure, sure. I think she needs a sweater that says joy is a form of resistance. I think that's right. I think this is a really great philosophy from your dad, and I think it's a good place to start. Why not start looking for joy?
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, there are things that need to be confronted.
Yes.
And I think
I typically do.
I don't think you're going to let any of those go by. But I think that's right. I think people, you can't make people angrier than by experiencing joy in front of them.
No.
I think that's what it is.
Exactly. And if that's how they feel and they have their life experience, who am I to take away my joy of that beautiful walk that I take every day?
It's a great way to start the year. I'd be lying if I said we haven't had similar proclamations from you that have fallen short. Over the last couple of years, but I'm going to go with it, and I'm going to go for it.
I do recall I made a similar one.
Yeah, that's okay.
I didn't stick to it.
I think we try. Everyone, this is what you do. This is what you do. You mentioned on the show today that Anna inspired you to attend a drag brunch at the Art House this weekend in Miami. You showed some video, and if you haven't seen the show, please go see the show.
Yes, I'm going to post a lot of the stuff. I'm not great at posting, but I felt so much love in that room. By the way, it was packed.
Mm-hmm.
The music, the people, the owners were shocked, actually, because I said when they were here on Friday, the next time I'm in Miami, which is going to be very soon, I'm going to stop by. And, you know, he gave me his card and he's probably like, yeah, sure. Sonny's going to stop by. So I made reservations and I texted him, but he didn't read his phone.
Oh, wow.
So I walk in and the lady's like kind of staring at me, the receptionist. And I said, hi, I'm Sonny Hodson. I think I have reservations for 6. And she said, can you wait one moment? I said, sure. And she goes and she gets him.
Yeah, of course.
And he's like, you're here. I said, yes, I told you I was going to be here. And I brought my family. And he's like, wait. And I don't know what he did, but we had the best table.
Oh, that's great.
And Athena announced that I was there. And by the way, Brian, you're going to love this. They have television screens everywhere. And The View, the episode of The View on Friday, was playing on a loop.
Love it.
It was great. Great for us.
The Greg show... Bridges in hospital waiting rooms are... Those are fantastic.
Yeah. The show was fantastic. The queens are amazing athletes. My husband was especially impressed with that.
That was apparent on the show on Friday, I thought. Yeah,
I mean, the athleticism, the sheer athleticism, the joyfulness. And the funniest part for me was my mother is very Catholic, which is why I'm so Catholic. She goes to church every Sunday, no matter where we are. And we were actually in Miami for a birthday party, a 70th yacht party. And she texted me. She's like, hey, I found this great church. It was like 12 something. Would you like to join me? And I said, I'm actually on my way to a drag queen brunch. Thank you so much for the invitation, but I'll see you when we get home. Because we were all flying out. I would say I got there at 12:30, 1 o'clock. Who strolls in but Rosa Besa in her church gear? And I was like, Mom, you're at the drag queen brunch. She was like, yep, Pope Francis just talked about things like this. This is about acceptance. This is about love. This is about joy. And she said she had one of the best times she has ever had.
Oh, that's wonderful.
She left a church mass to go to a drag queen brunch. I love my mother.
This is why Whoopi loves the Pope. but that's great.
Yeah, well, the Pope just, I believe.
Very recently, yeah.
Very recently, the new guidance is that you can bless a same-sex relationship or marriage. That's very significant.
Very progressive, yeah.
And it's very progressive, and thank God for that. You know, I got in trouble, I think, a couple of seasons ago. Not in trouble, but whatever. The right wing came after me for saying that Jesus would be the grand marshal of the gay parade. Mm-hmm. I believe that. I mean, he was also with prostitutes and he was with lepers. He was with people that were otherized.
Yes.
And so why wouldn't he be the grand marshal? And why wouldn't my mother go to a drag queen brunch? If you believe in the Lord and you believe in God, and you believe in love, then you believe in drag queens.
Yeah, there we go. I love it. Well, I love that you were down there so fast. And that's true. I love that they were playing the episode. So that's
they
great.
Were. I knew you would love that. Yeah.
We'll be right back.
This is Sunny Hostin. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/view. Just go to Indeed.com/view right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/view. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Shopify. Ready to make the smartest choice for your business? Say hello to Shopify, the global commerce platform that makes selling a breeze. Whether you're starting your online shop, opening your first physical store, or hitting a million orders, Shopify is your growth partner. Sell everywhere with Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. Turn browsers into buyers with Shopify's best converting checkout, 36% better than other platforms. Effortlessly sell more with Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Did you know Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and supports global brands like Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen? Join millions of successful entrepreneurs across 175 countries backed by Shopify's extensive support and help resources. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Start your success story today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/view. Put it all in lowercase. Go to shopify.com/view now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/view.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
On Friday, also, we had Gypsy Rose Blanchard on the show, and her interview has gone incredibly viral.
That's what I heard.
It's all over TikTok. It's everywhere. What did you think of her story after speaking with her? Did it change your mind at all? Did you have any preconceptions going in? I mean, obviously, as someone who was a prosecutor, she committed a very serious crime.
Well, she murdered her mother.
Yeah, yeah. Which, joy aside, we are not forgetting.
Yeah.
And what was your takeaway?
I guess people are going to think terrible things about me because it seems to be a generational gap. You know, the younger generation seems to think, well, she took her power. And my generation thinks she killed her mother.
Yeah.
So I'm a former federal prosecutor. Uh-huh. Yes, everybody, I'm going to say it again.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people are guilty. And she admitted to doing that.
Well, when you say most people are guilty, you mean?
Most people that commit...
Murder.
They're convicted of murder or criminals.
Yeah.
And they're murderers. That's right up there with, like, you know, rape and incest,
right.
Murder.
She did serve her time and she was a victim.
She served a lot of time.
No.
Though, because the guy who she convinced to kill her mother got life in prison. And she has 6 million followers on social media and seemed very savvy to me. And is not interested in a 9-to-5 job.
Mm-hmm.
Got her GED, which I praise her for. But I'm not a fan of murderers.
No, sure. I know you have sympathy from what she went through. We talked about
this. I have tremendous sympathy for what she went through. But let me also say this. Having been a prosecutor for many, many years, there are a lot of people that are abused that don't go on to kill their parents. She just seemed, for someone who had just left prison, very savvy.
She seemed very smart to me.
Very clever.
Yes.
Clever and savvy.
Mm-hmm. And
I'm sorry, all the Gypsy Rose lovers out there.
No, I mean, she's certainly taking the moment.
It's like, you know how when people are put in prison for life for murder, typically something that a prosecutor asks for is that if they write a book or anything, that they can't benefit from their crimes.
Right.
And I don't see that here.
Well, it's interesting. I talked about this with Anna on Friday a little bit. I was conflicted about whether we should have her on.
Yeah, I know you were.
I did. You were spoken.
Especially along with our wonderful drag queens.
Yeah, that was an unfortunate combination, but it worked out. I mean, for an epic photo backstage. Listen, that was a timing thing. It had to happen. So,
look, who am I to judge? She will meet her maker, and that's when I don't want to judge her.
No.
I just...
Well, one of the reasons
this is just my training and my background.
One of the reasons I said yes was because, again, these are conversations people are having at home about this story, and you guys are coming at it from different perspectives. Sarah Haynes completely
empathized,
empathetic after watching she was 100% with her. Joy forgot that she murdered someone for 10 minutes.
I'm going to let Joy speak to that moment herself.
Joy knows that murder is bad. I think she was taken by how sympathetic she was from the abuse she went through.
You know, maybe my soul has died.
Well,
having seen so many bad things and having visited many murder scenes, I did not have that level of empathy.
When you're a prosecutor and you're seeing those kind of stories, do you turn off the emotion in those moments?
No, I don't. It fuels me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm trying to figure out how to do a segue. This is going from
sorry
from murder to drag queens, but I was going to talk about another hot topic we had on the show today. So we touched on this story today. It's about a woman who had an affair with her sister's husband. Talk about someone who does not have sympathy. And then she told other family members, but not the sister who was
told
being cheated.
Told her parents, too.
Yes. You had a strong reaction to this, of course.
I did.
What is your take on family secrets?
I think you're as sick as your secrets.
Mm.
And
that's a good
T-shirt
too.
I don't. It's not mine. I got that from somewhere else. You know, I don't have siblings.
Mm-hmm.
I have chosen sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I try to put myself in these kinds of situations, and I think either because of your hoish behavior, you either have to live with that terrible thing that you did for the rest of your life and don't bring it into everyone else's life, or you fess up to it. What this person is obviously a selfish person.
Yes.
Because she is sleeping with her sister's husband. He is also a hoe, as Anna pointed out.
Correct.
Okay. So I did miss that hoish part.
Mm-hmm.
So there were two people involved here, but she should have either taken it to her grave and dealt with it with her maker, or she should have told her sister, which is the more honorable thing to do.
Yes.
The tougher thing to do. But the most honorable thing to do is not to sleep with your sister's husband.
Sure. Assuming that horse has left the barn, are you somewhat now, would you want to be told, or would you prefer that it went far
away? See, personally for me,
yes,
I like to live, as I just mentioned, I'm trying to live in a state of joy.
Yes.
So I think that you take that nasty act of disloyalty and betrayal to your grave with you, and you live with the weight of it.
Right.
Don't bring it into my world.
Right. You live with the fear it's going to come out. You live with the...
You live with it. Don't bring it into my world.
Yes.
However, if I learn that someone did something like that, I'm going to give you the opportunity to choose your lot.
Mm-hmm.
Live with it or tell.
Right. But you're not going
to
tell.
I may.
You might have to.
I may mm-hmm. because I don't like people being made fools of in front of others. The betrayal and the disloyalty disgusts me. You know, I'm loyal to a fault, my friends sometimes say. And you know that about me.
I do.
So.
It's tricky,
but I don't like it.
Yeah. No, I think it's tough. I mean, it's almost worse to be aware of the information on the outside and have to make that decision.
I don't like that you put that on me.
It's very tricky. All right. Former Congresswoman Liz Cheney is sitting down with all of you on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about this. We've wanted to have her on the show for a long time. What are you looking forward to asking her? You've told me off camera that you've been reading the book and you're taken by it.
That book is one of the best books I've read in a long time.
This is surprising because you were a critic.
I am a critic, and I remain a critic. Mm-hmm. She voted with Trump 93% of the time.
Right.
Our policy could not be any different. And our vision for what this country should be, I think, couldn't be any different. But our vision of democracy is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And our vision of the Constitution. Remember, she's a lawyer. She went to University of Chicago Law School.
Very smart.
She's a very smart person and a lifelong Republican. And I think the bar was very low to come out and say— January 6th was wrong.
Right.
That was an insurrection. Donald Trump is a threat to our democracy. The bar is very low. But she'd said it. And she gets credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if she was taking some contemporaneous notes, y'all, or some she was recording it. But I'm talking about the tea that is in this book. You feel like you are in these meetings, that you are in these conversations. It's step by step by step by step. And it's methodical, which I like. It's thorough, which I love. I feel like she thinks like I think.
Yeah.
And
there are receipts in this book.
There are receipts upon receipts upon receipts. Now, after she's here, I laud her and I applaud her. And I think everyone should read this book if they care about democracy. And then afterwards, I'm going to go back to my corner and disagree with her policies.
Right. She's not someone you'd vote for. But
never.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really excited to have her here. We're going to give her a lot of time, and we're really going to dive in, and we're going to have all six of you, which will be a new experience.
Yeah.
Well, listen, thank you for joining me today, Sunny. We got through
you
a lot.
Bet.
This is good.
We did.
Tomorrow, I'll be back with Sarah Haynes.
Yes.
And if you're enjoying the show, please continue to download them. Follow us, review. I read every single review. I appreciate the reviews. I print them out and walk around and read them to the other staffers.
You never tell me what people say about me.
They
so
adore you,
Sonny.
No, they adore you. It's mostly, I really just pay attention to what they say about me. But that's what we got. So thank you so much, and we'll see you tomorrow.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.